The Sailors fall to a shock defeat at the hands of the Tigers, but is it all Luca's fault?
And it's advantage Albrecht's. Will the White Swan seal the title on Friday?
You know exactly what's coming up. This is the SPL Podcast.
Hi everyone, this is Raushan.
And this is Farah. Raushan, we have three games left in the season. And honestly, it's no surprise that all eyes are at the very top. Even though, like you said earlier on, it's advantage Albrecht's. But it is getting a little bit spicy, isn't it, towards the end?
Yeah, it's certainly getting very spicy. All eyes on Friday's mega, mega clash. So gutted, I won't be here to watch it, but I'm going to be keeping tabs of the results. Nonetheless, it is advantage Albrecht's, and I think the Sailors have only one person to blame. But we'll get stuck into that, and to get stuck into it, we have the man joining us. Kirei Kame joins us once again on the SPL Podcast. Kirei, good to have you with us. How are you?
I am actually very good, very far away from Singapore, but my eyes, my ears, my heart is still the Singapore Premier League, especially this weekend.
The most important
Majula.
Thing is...
From where right, I am, we got Garuda Idaraki.
Today, there's plenty to get stuck into with regards to the title race. But just before we talk about all the football, one thing that's headlined the news all week in the local fraternity is the potential privatization of the Singapore Premier League next year. Now, it's something we've been waiting for a long, long time, but finally the wheels seem to be in motion. Are you excited by this?
Yeah, I think if it happens, it will be a good move for the Premier League, good move for the fans, good move for Singapore football itself. Because right now, with the privatizations, we will definitely attract a bigger number of sponsors who's going to be willing now to be part of the Premier League, part of Singapore football, and that bodes well with, you know, salary of players, you know, bigger budgets, and you know, you can get better foreigners for clubs as well, or maybe you can pay the foreigners that we have now a little bit better with bonuses and stuff. So at the end of the day, you're going to get better quality for football, and then at the same time you can get better match day experience. Hopefully how clubs are run, they can be more engaging with the fans, and you know, all these little engagements will definitely be a plus point, or many plus points, for Singapore football in the long run.
I do want to ask though, since Kirei had pointed out so many of these positives, Raushan, do you agree with him? I mean, this talk of privatization of the league has been for so long already. So where do you stand on this one?
Yeah, I know the P word that's dominated the headlines is privatization, but what I'm particularly excited about is that it's going to become so professional starting with the privatization in terms of when the league starts, when the league ends. Kirei touched on it there, contracts. And I think it's been brewing for such a long time, so it's finally nice that it's come out in the open now, which means they are beholden to their word now, right? So it's just a matter of getting sponsors, getting investors to come along and beef up our league. I think there's been one club setting the standard so far and other clubs trying their level best to match. Hopefully, this will level the playing field slightly, because with professionalization or privatization, rather, it makes the competition more exciting. And I think as fans, we can all look forward to that. And I think Ben Tan was brought in with this specific purpose, right, from the Thai League with his experience there. So it'll be interesting to see him work his magic for the local league. And I look forward to a brand new 2023. But let's not get ahead of ourselves, because 2022 is very exciting. Farah, shall we turn our attention to the football now?
I was just about to say, me and you both very excited to what's to come, but we have, you know, plenty to get to now. So let's get on with what actually went down at the weekend first and foremost, but nowhere else we can start except with the Lion City Sailors, can we? That's three defeats on the bounce for them, 10 goals conceded. Pretty turbulent times for the Sailors. First up, though, here's what Luca had to say after that shock loss to Balestier that has left the Lion City Sailors reeling.
An absolute nightmare for me, because this is the result of combined mistakes we have made throughout the match, especially individual mistakes. I mean, if we at this level, we cannot clear the ball of the box. If we lose every one-on-one duel, defensive or attacking, if we cannot win the second balls, long balls, I mean, this is what we get. And Balestia won this game, fully deserved for me. I think we are definitely trying, and I am trying personally to correct the defensive issues. This was actually our focus this whole last week. But still, I think the same old mistakes are keep repeating itself, and I think the issue here is more psychological, and that's something that we need to discuss.
So Luca there saying it is an absolute nightmare for him. Hidir, I'll come to you first. Straight up, what has gone wrong with the Lion City Sailors? Because when he first came on, he did pretty well, and now not so much.
I think, to be direct and honest, he is the problem in LCS. Luca is the problem in the LCS. There's no other excuses or reasons that can cover the cracks that they are having at this point of time. I know for a fact that there are a lot of issues also within the club when he went up as from academy director to interim coach. He wanted to do stuff and change a lot of things, you know, things that make sense that wasn't broken under Kim. He wanted to change, and I think that created a lot of discontentment also within certain departments in the club. And I know if you think logically, you are the interim coach. You only have to win all games to be champions, and you don't need to change things that are already working, right? But he wanted to change the way he trains. He wanted to change the way how the technical department was being divided in terms of responsibilities. He brought his academy coaches up to be by his side on the bench on match days and also in the training, everyday training. So there's a lot of issues over there that wasn't really clear and defined. And because of that little issues, and at the same time, you can see after he took over, yeah, they won 3 games, scoring a lot of goals, and yet they conceded a few as well. But you could see that something was already happening over there. You could see a lot of players getting injured, and it's muscle injuries. It's not like knocks or contusions or things that can't be prevented, but it's muscle injuries. Diego being out for so long, he wasn't even on the bench the last game. Kim Shin-Wook, no idea where he is as well. So these are the little things that, you know, could have been prevented. And at the same time, you need your best players to be playing, right? And even though you have good quality bench and all that, we have seen from the start of the season that when they played Geylang International, they tried to play their second stringers. Yes, national players, but still not enough to beat Geylang International. So they still need their best players to beat all the teams, to outscore them and at the same time create a good run for them. But now, because of a lot of changes that Luca has created within the club, and that created a lot of issues, and now we are seeing the effects of it. After the 3 games, tactically, I think he has been found out. He's being too open tactically. And at the same time, Hassan is a good goalkeeper. But if you are not being protected by the way your team is being set up, even a good goalkeeper would concede goals, right? And if you look at how it was the last game against Balestier, how can Balestier score 5 against Lion City Sailors? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter whether they are playing at a fantastic Toa Payoh field or even at Jalan Besar. It really doesn't matter. It's just how you are setting up. And the subs that he made during the last game was, to me, very, very a weird kind of substitution. You put a young player in instead of people you have on the bench with more experience. And the tactical change that you made, there wasn't any different styles of it. You're just putting in maybe for the sake of putting in. Of course, he has his plans and all that, but it clearly isn't working at this point of time. And now, with the situation as the club is in, it doesn't look like they are going to reach the finishing line first ahead of Albrecht Niigata. And again, I want to repeat that for a club that has been spending so much more than they had last season, they should be running away with the league, right? Even though, yeah, maybe Kim Do-hoon didn't even run away at that point of time, but they were still 3 points ahead of Urbrex and they were in a very comfortable position, right? And a lot of changes happened, and that's where Lion City now is where they are because of the decisions that he has made over the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks that he's into the job. Yeah, and it's a difficult situation for them, but it's still doable. Still doable, but I really don't know how is it going to be at this moment because they have lost a lot of players in terms of suspensions and injuries as well.
All right, that's all the time we have for this episode. Thank you for your very detailed answer. Raushan, now I'll come to you. I mean, at the start of the show, I did ask, is it all Lucas' fault? Where do you stand on this one?
Wow, this is part two of the podcast. And no, I do take Kide's points on board completely. I think it comes to the territory of being a head coach. You have to take the blame for it. When the team did well, 3 wins on the bounce in his first 3 games in charge, scoring goals for fun, everybody was like, oh, Lucas, the man, handbrakes off, da-da-da-da-da. So, by the same token, now that they've lost 3 games on a row, it's only fair that he takes the brunt of it. And I think he has, like Kide touched on, had to or insisted on changing things that he didn't necessarily have to change. He took charge for 9 games of the season. We spoke to him on the Rated R podcast and it seemed quite clear that it was an interim role. So he knew what he was signing up for. But I can understand the eagerness to make an impression and therefore he went about making changes in training as Kide touched on. And that's had a knock-on effect on players keeping themselves fit. Above and beyond that, that's the structure of the backroom and you must understand that. At the end of the day, the Lion City players are superstars, yes, when it comes to the SPL, but they are human beings. So there's a lot of change going on and it's a lot to take on board. And I think that's where Luca has tried to change too much in too little time and that's been difficult. There's no way the Sailors team should be conceding 5 goals to Balestier Khalsa. Rain, no rain, waterlogged pitch, no waterlogged pitch. Just defending like that is uncharacteristic. And I strongly believe that if LCS had kept Kim Do-hoon, they would be in a much better position going into Friday. Football, so I'm not going to say they wouldn't have lost the league, but they would be in a much stronger position going into the Albrex clash this Friday. So the same people who were so swift to get rid of Kim Do-hoon now need to look at themselves and think about whether Luca was the right man for the job. Farah, I know you disagree with me, so why not you tell me your opinions?
I will do this very quickly because we do want to get on the rest of the show, but I take both of your points very, very much. I get that when Luca was doing very well, when he took on what was left with him, he did very well and we sung our praises for him. And I get that in that same token, like you said, now that they are on a 3-game losing streak, he should also get the blame of it. And I agree. I'm not saying he's 100%, like, you know, he's not at fault at all. There definitely should be blame to him, but there also should be blame to the club, to the players. Like, these players are not random, you know, they are good. They are more than good. They are like the standard of this league. They should be able to perform week after week. When we started this season, we've always said this club should always see it through. Every time we go into our predictions, we're like, they should have more than enough in them to see this through. And it should have been the same with Balestier last week, especially. They should not be losing to Balestier. We did not see this coming. We did not expect that. But here we are at the end of the day. And again, like I said, I'm saying that Luca should not be blamed at all. He should. But I feel like it's not entirely his fault. That's all. But yeah, okay, go ahead. Yep.
Farah, I just want to add, with the decision makers at the club, it almost seems like it came from a point of arrogance that they thought they could get away with putting someone like Luca in charge. I'll get Kide's thoughts on this very shortly, but Luca came into the job with absolutely zero top-level experience. He looks the part, I tell you that. He's done well at a technical director level, at a youth level, but he ultimately lacked experience. So I really feel like it was arrogance on the Lion City Sailors management part to put someone without experience in charge when they are fully fighting for the title. They almost underestimated Albrex. They thought they can just walk to the title with the players they have. But ultimately, I think this is where football people earn the big bucks. That's why the likes of Kim Do-hoon earn the big bucks. And I'm guessing Yoshinaga has a big fat paycheck as well for the reasons that they are good at what they do. I'm not saying Luca will not go on to possibly become a good coach in the future, but he was clearly thrown into the deep end. I think that's the point you're making as well. Kide, do you think it was arrogant or do you think it was naive on the management's part?
I think it's both. It's I think it's really, like I said in a previous podcast, the moment Luca was appointed, I had never thought that he was the right person for the job. He's never had any high level experience, and now he's being found out. He's really shown that he's really not up to it at this point of time because he has changed a lot of things. Immature of him at the same time, but it is what it is at this point of time. Yeah. So if you look at his decisions on the pitch, the tactical changes that he will make during the games, and even how he set up his teams to play and to start off with in all the games that he has played, he's out to outscore every opponent. But at the same time, you know, in football, defending is always easier than scoring goals. And so you have to make sure that you don't lose first or you don't concede first before trying to score those goals. And in terms of management of Lion City Sailors, now is a clear indication that they have made a wrong decision. I don't think at this point of time, not just by looking at the results, by things that are happening within the club itself, have shown the management that, oh, maybe the appointment was the wrong one. Now they are really in danger of losing their title as defending champions, and they have to live by their decision at this point of time. So their next course of action must be a good one to correct all the wrongs that they have made over the last a month or two before this. And a good coach will stabilize things, and you will bring LCS back to where it's supposed to be. Yeah.
With all that said, at the end of the day, mathematically, they are still in this. They're not completely out of this, and they will have
not for long.
Well, they will have that chance to make it right this weekend, well, on Friday pretty much. So this brings us straight into match week 26, and it really, really does not get any bigger than this. The Lion City Sailors up against Alborex at the Jalan Besar Stadium with kickoff at 7:45 p.m. Now, before we set the scene for Friday night's clash, let's check in with Marcus, who submitted his thoughts on the Sailors' struggles.
The Lion City Sailors is on its worst run with 3 losses in a row since their history in 2020. If they lose to Albrex Niigata this Friday, their chance of defending the SPL title will be over, as Albrex Niigata will be crowned of the new champion for 2022. For the Sailors, there is something wrong with the players and they lack the work teamwork. Now with Haris Haru suspended, Pedro Henrique returning back to Brazil to recover from his injury, the defense is now weakened.
So Marcus there, telling us exactly how he's feeling, and we will continue talking about this a little bit later. But before that, a little bit of team news. Luka Lalic's men will face pretty much an uphill task against the league leaders, as the key trio in Kim Shin-wook, Diego Lopez and Gabriel Kwok are all major doubts and unlikely to feature. Haris Haron will also serve the first of his 2-match suspension for his direct red card last weekend, while defender Pedro Henrique remains ruled out to injury. Forward Amiruddin Ashraf is on the treatment table, while Zulkarnain Suzliman is still not match fit. For Alborex, meanwhile, Yoshiki Matsura is still sidelined, but Shogo Toyomura is now available for selection. Fairuz Hassan is a major concern, but should be able to make the match day squad.
Okay, I think time now, for kickoff already.
A couple of Hideo's answer and this team news, pretty much kickoff. But guys, pretty much a host of changes there. Hideo, I'll come to you first. Will LCS overcome this to keep themselves alive in the title race? The all important question here.
No, I don't think so. I think the loss of form over the last 3 games, and at the same time, the suspensions and injuries that they are facing at this point of time, especially in defense. At this point of time, only Amirul Adli is the only center back available for LCS. They never had a lot of cover to begin with. Now Haris is gone, Pedro is gone, and we only have Amirul Adli at this point. So who's going to partner him? Maybe Shahdan, maybe Anu, right? But they are not really a centre-back per se, right? So if a team that can't defend, with Pedrao and Haris around, and now without them, they're going to get exposed more and against a more direct team in Albrecht, because Albrecht has been very direct over the last few games. You can see when they played against Hougang the last match, is there were a lot of times where they were just hitting the ball straight to Ilhan and Tadanari Lee and looking for the second balls. It would be the same now because Amirul is also not so fantastic in terms of dealing with direct balls. So it's something that they can look at the same time. And they have been proved successful for Albirex to, in terms of tactical game plan. This is how they have been playing for quite some time. They have the compliments of almost full squad against LCS, who's really, at this point of time, a bad situation they are in at this point of time. So I don't see a way out for Lion City Sailors. Yes, they can you know, have a rah-rah session before the game, you know, trying to motivate themselves. But at the end of the day, the quality of the team that they are facing is still of a high quality in terms of Albrecht. And I just don't see them getting out of it. I think the title is going to be lost this Friday.
So it really doesn't look like it's looking good for them. But Raushan, just to insert this, LCS have never won against Albrecht in the league. That does not bode very well for them. And now, again, to add on to this, we're talking about Yoshinaga, who has already won 2 SPL titles. My question is, surely Luka is no match for him, is he?
I mean, if you go by CV, it's definitely no match. I think the task at hand, what they need is the miracle LCS, basically, to keep themselves alive. When you take your... We laughed about that lengthy list in terms of team news, but that all stacks up against Luka, right? We talk about the management being naive. Why would you go into a league season where you're competing in the Champions League with 3 first-choice centre-backs? I mean, it only makes sense to have 4, right? Now you've lost 2. 1 through suspension, 1 through long-term injury. You've been toying with Anu in that position. The next to step up is Bill, who I'm guessing that's why he came on in the last game to get some game time, because perhaps there was thoughts that he could play there. So it's really, again, out of Luka's hands, this one. I think, yes, we did heap some blame on him for the 3 losses, but this is like, honestly, this is, to quote a British term, is ass luck. To have that length of injuries going into such a crucial clash is so, so difficult. So I think it's stacked up against Luka. All the more going up against someone like Yoshinaga, who we know knows how to win. Throwing to the mix Ilhan Fandi vying to become the first Fandi to win the SPL, I think there's a lot at stake. So you talk about a patched up defense, you talk about Kodai Tanaka and Ilhan Fandi and Tadarangli amongst the goals. That's not bode well. I think the title is over on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, just to butt in. But you mentioned, Raushan, that it's us luck. I don't think it's us luck. The injuries are being brought by how they have been training the last 3-4 weeks, right? It's not because of anything else. And at the same time, when Bill came, he wasn't playing in central defense. He was playing ahead of who was it just at that time? Ahead of the central mid, the number 8 or number 10. And Max Zimlestian had to move to the right side, and Faris Ramli moved to the left. So tactically, it doesn't make sense because Bill is supposed to be a center back. And now, at that last game, he was playing in a different position. So I really don't know what Luka was thinking, but if he wanted to give Bill some minutes, he would have been giving Bill playing at the centre-back position, because they know that he knows that maybe the next game is needed over there. So again, everything is being brought not because of bad luck or anything like that. It's really decisions made by the man on the big job at this point of time.
Yeah, Kidi, I'm inclined to agree. And I guess I take it from the man who works for Catapult about the injuries being caused by that training. I will take it from you. But probably Bill just throwing a big man up front out of desperation. And that in itself tells you the situation Luka is in, right? Desperation. I can see Farah itching to get on to the next game. So let's go on to Saturday's clash. I think we've set the scene quite nicely. I will come back with a million-dollar question right at the end of the show.
You want to put
let's
end?
Come back with the predictions right at the show. Ken, let's tease the audience slightly.
Okay,
all right,
okay,
moving
okay.
on to Saturday's clash at 5:30 p.m. over at Jalan Besar Stadium. It's the Young Lions against Balestier. T Team News, Captain Jacob Muller remains absent for the Young Lions. The trio of Arshad Shamim, Sharul Sazali and Faisal Moritz will miss out due to national service. I think they went field camp because last week also they missed. Forward Glenn Quay and midfielder Elijah Lim are both doubts. Striker Abdul Razak and Zico Shua are sidelined with long-term injuries. And Nor Hakim Rizwan is also ruled out. For Balestier Khalsa, bouncing after that victory over the Lion City Sailors, they'll continue to miss Amir Hakim, Ansa Brunsevich, Khalil Khalif, and Naufal Azman, who has an ACL injury. Now, Kide, coming to you first. Your former club got, I dare say, fabulous result. Historic result, I dare say. Can Balestier build on the shock result against LCS to end the season strong?
Yeah, I think definitely. You mean you're playing Young Lions. You know, Young Lions, basically, you are facing a team who's always losing at this point of time. They have no idea on how to get out of the rut that they are in at this moment. So I see Balestier really using the morale boosting win that they have had last weekend to just boost them forward to see out the game. I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, Balestier is going to win this game with at least two goals. And I see, because the team is almost having a full squad, right? Except for a few here and there, which at this point of time doesn't really matter when you're playing Young Lions. So I expect them to not steamroll Young Lions, not 8-1 like how Tanjung Pagar did, but a pretty comfortable victory for them.
Yeah, I really think as well it's going to... I mean, the thing is, the question at the end is, will they be able to build on that result? Of course they will. It's the Young Lions. I'm so sorry. Like, they've not done a lot this season, and we've said so many things about them throughout the season, but they will be, I mean, they as in Balestier are going to be incredibly confident going into this one. And I think when last weekend when Balestier played, Deepen said something like it has been an embarrassing season for the Young Lions, and he is not wrong. I don't see this changing this weekend. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty comfortable win for Balestier. I'm going to go 4-0 Balestier.
Yeah, I think there's only one way to bet on this game, right? We talked earlier about the privatization of the league. For Young Lions' sake, I hope they are not part of the plans because they don't belong in the professional league. And that's no disservice to the players, but send them out to other clubs to gain some experience. Just put them out of their misery. It's been painful to watch. And I don't blame them the way they're conceding goals. Hits just drop. They don't have leaders on the pitch. And they're not doing the service of growing young footballers if they keep getting walloped every week like this. So, my prediction is 5-1 to Balestier this weekend.
So, everyone going, why is Hidier giving us this? He's not expecting this. He's saying like 2-0, right? Didn't he say 2-0?
Yeah, yeah. Just a comfortable 2-0. That's it.
All right. Okay, let's see what happens at the weekend. Moving on, the other Saturday night clash at 5:30 PM, Hougang Stadium, between Hougang United and Tampines Rovers. Now, a bit of team news, head coach Clement Teo will have a fully fit squad to select from other than Kaishu Yamazaki, who will be absent. The duo of Afiq Noor and Muhaimin Suhaimi will both serve a one-game ban for yellow card accumulation. Tampines, meanwhile, will welcome back captain Yarsi Hanapi from suspension. Buck Mark Ryan Tan remains ruled out with injury. So, Raushan, I'll come to you first for this. Tampines to seal third spot, easy?
To be fair, I thought they'll do it last week. Surprised me that they didn't get a goal past Geylang International. My captain speaks Zerudin also blue, so it's okay, no hard feelings. Moving on to this weekend, I really do think Tampines Rovers will get the job done. I mean, I always go back to this point about Hougang. I just think their defense is there for the taking. I spoke to a player who I'm not going to mention from Hougang, happened to bump into him, and he tells me the defense is shocking. So, if that is the issue there from internal viewing, the external viewing doesn't make for a very pretty picture. And I know they did well to get a 1-1 draw against Albrecht, but I'm sorry, I think Tampines have the bit between their teeth and they'll get the job done. 3-1 to Tampines this Saturday.
Hidir, what do you think? I mean, throughout the season, we do love bringing up our stats. And if I'm not wrong, they are going up against a side that they have had plenty of, not say plenty, but they've won against Tampines twice already this season. Just that first game that they lost against them 7-1. So what do you think? How do you think this one is going to play out?
I think Hougang is going to going to have a good time against Dampines this weekend. I think the setup for the last few weeks for Hagen has been quite I wouldn't say outstanding, but it has been a little bit more stable than what he has been in the first half or even the second half of the season. And they are now having the complements of almost full squad. Andre Moritz is back. Even though we saw a lot of players going down through cramps and injuries the last game, I still think that they should be able to have everybody back, fully fit, ready to go. And Haugang needs to have Mukun to be saving everything. And, you know, young players, I wouldn't say Mukun is young, but he's still inexperienced. He would still be, we don't really know which Mukun is going to turn up every match day, and or rather which Anders is going to turn up, or which Lionel is going to turn up. But they have to be counting themselves lucky, or they need to be lucky this Saturday not to concede any silly goals or any stupid mistakes that they make. But at the same time, going forward, Tampines' defense is also, for lack of a better word, it's also not fantastic or pretty rubbish in that sense. Right? So Shawal Anwar is in the form of his life, and Andre Moritz now getting back into good form. Pedro can also be a pain in the ass for Tampines' defense. So I feel that it's going to be a high scoring game. And at the same time, I feel that Haugang will somehow nick it at the end. Yeah.
Scores, please.
4-3, Haugang.
Ah, very interesting. Now, see, I'm very conflicted with this one because I don't know how this one is going to play out. I think when Hidir brought up the fact that you don't know which Mukun, which Anders is going to show up, that's Haugang in general. Every time this season, you expect them to win, they don't. You expect them to take a point, they don't. And you expect them to lose, they're going to do the complete opposite. So I really don't know what to expect at all from Haugang. But maybe the break, this last break, has helped them a little bit. I remember in the pre-match, Clemens saying they've had like gathering sessions and all that stuff. So I don't know how much that's helped them. But they looked pretty good against Albirex. We have to be honest there. And Mukun completely was on another level. Completely saved them multiple times on the night. So I'm very excited to see how this one turns out. But Tampines, on the other hand, they will have their eye on that third spot and they will want to seal that as soon as possible, which I feel like they might just nick it at the end. I'm going to go 2-1 to Tampines.
I wonder if Kaishu got invited for the gatherings. Shall we move on to the final game of the season? Weekend, I got ahead of myself.
Maybe he got invited, but he didn't turn up.
Possibly. Just like training then. Shall we move on to the final game of the weekend, Geylang International against Tanjong Pagar United. That's happening on Sunday at our Tampines Hub, 5:30 p.m. kickoff. Team news, Muhammad Ali will have a fully fit squad except captain Fadli Khamis, who remains out with an ACL injury. Tanjung Pagar have a fully fit squad with no injuries at the moment. Now, I had the privilege of witnessing Tanjung Pagar smash the Young Lions 8-1 over the weekend. Ronaldo, I said it right, was absolutely amazing. Do we suspect that Tanjung Pagar will continue to do that to finish the season strong, Kide?
Oh, wow. I think by historical stats, I think for Geylang International and Tanjung Pagar's matches have always been really undecided in a way, because there are times where you feel that Tanjung Pagar would be ahead, but somehow Geylang would be beating them and vice versa. So going into this game, you look by form, Tanjung Pagar would definitely be ahead of Geylang International. Or rather, the team played really a bad game against Tampines Rovers. The game was really slow. There was an intensity in the game. It was tough to watch as a fan also, right? From home, I don't know how exciting it was live, but from home, it was really, I couldn't really bear myself to watch because it was really slow. There wasn't any enough chances being created. But if Geylang were to have a chance to move up the table, they need to be beating Tanjung Pagar, especially this Sunday. And quality wise, I still feel that with the way that Geylang plays, the way they set up, they should be able to manage Tanjung Pagar's counter attacking style of play. And at the same time, they have Zuzul back to lead the front line. They have Hazwan back. And of course, with Vincent's quality, anything can happen. He can create something out of nothing. He can also score. At this point of time, he has scored a lot of goals over the last few weeks. And I think Geylang would be ahead of Tanjung Pagar for this coming week. And I expect them to win by a slim margin, maybe just 1-0. Yeah.
Roshan, before I come to myself, how about you? Let us know how you think this one is going to play out.
Yeah, I think Kide summed it up perfectly. Bezuko is 2 goals, 4 assists in his last 5 appearances. So definitely a man to watch. Having said all that, I suspect these two teams will cancel each other out and settle for a point. I just feel Geylang, I know we waxed lyrical about them when they had that amazing turnaround midway through the season, but I think it's almost going to be a plateau end to the season. So I suspect 2-2 in this one on Sunday.
All right, I think I'll agree with Hidir. I think Geylang might just slightly nick this one. I feel like they just might have a little bit more in them than Tanjung Pagar do. So I think I'm going to go 3-1. 3-1 is not nicking it. 3-1 Tanjung Pagar. What am I saying? 3-1 Geylang International. 3 points today. I think they will finish the season stronger. Okay. Now that our predictions for this one are done and dusted, Roshan, do you think it's time for our Lion City Sailors predictions? Or
Kini, we'll come to you first. Lion City Sailors against Albrecht Niigata. Which way will the pendulum swing?
Albrecht Niigata to win 2-1.
Roshan?
After you, ladies first.
I feel like you've dragged this on long enough, just waiting for people to like stay on till the end of the show to listen to our predictions. But this is my prediction. I think at the end of the day, Albrecht's are going to be stronger and going to come out of this one. Tops, they're not going to let this one slip. I hate using the let it slip, but I think they're not going to let this one slip.
From a very evil friend.
That's why I hate using it. But anyways, I think Albrecht's are going to win this one. I wouldn't say comfortably, but 3-1 Albrecht's.
3-1 is a fairly comfortable result. I have particularly waited as long as I can to give you all my prediction. I know we've said a lot about LCS and how they are on dire straits, but there's just something about this Friday under the lights at JBS. I think they're going to stay alive. I don't think they're going to get a victory, but I think they will snatch a 2-2 draw just to stay alive. I don't think LCS will win the title. I'm just going to say it on record, but I don't think Albrecht will win it this weekend. 2-2 at Jalan Besar, Friday night football, 4 goals, split evenly.
You know, you see why he wanted to wait till the very end? He just wanted to say this. All right. Anyways, that's our predictions done. Moving on to Raushan's favorite bit. I mean, you know, I don't know how he did last weekend. He made a little mention just now, but Raushan, I'll let you take this one. Our captain's pick.
It was a three-way battle between Deepen, you and I. For someone who finished second in that battle, you got a lot to say, yeah? Because Deepen picked Song Yeong, who went on to score 2 goals. So get out of here.
I was not last.
Okay, this week I will go first. My pick for this week is actually a bit counterproductive because I said Haugang are going to lose. But I think Shawal Anwar is going to be my pick this week.
I mean, that's a very good pick. Kide, how about you?
I think my pick would be from Haugang as well because I predicted to be a high-scoring game. I expect Christian Krajicek to have big say in the game.
That is a very good pick. I picked him last week. Not bad. Could be better, but hopefully he does even better this week for you. But anyways, my captain's pick for this week, again, I'm running out of people. I'm stressed out. But anyways, I have not picked this guy. But if I have, like Roshan said last week, you can call me out on this. I'm going to go with Vincent Bezukhov.
There you have it. Then I'm not sure if you have, to be honest. Maybe Kine is keeping count. Not bad, yeah. Could be better. Sums up your captain's pick for the season. All right, listeners, we hope you've enjoyed the preview for what should be a monumental weekend in the 2022 Singapore Premier League season. Farah and I will keep you company all the way through the end of the season. We hope you continue to support the Final Whistle. We'll catch you on the next episode.